This is the David Webb Show.
Two police officers in Nashville stopped what could have been an even more horrendous tragedy. There is simply no other way to place to put this. There just isn't. What could have happened had they not stepped in as fast as they did? When you look at the initial time when it began, and 13 or 14 minutes later, when minutes, when seconds matter, these police officers stepped in. Sergeant Betsy Branter Smith joins me now, a veteran police officer and spokesperson for the National Police Association. Sergeant Smith, great to have you here.
David, thanks so much for having me, although, of course, under such horrific circumstances.
It is. And unfortunately, all too often, these are the circumstances. But, you know, just first to the, well, there's a lot to be discussed about this. First to the timeline as we know it, to the response. And it's, you know, almost too easy to see the difference in the type of response, say, in Uvalde, Texas, versus the actions of these officers.
Well, you're absolutely right. And of course, this was an absolute textbook response of what we are supposed to do, what we have been trained to do since Columbine High School. So, you know, on so many levels, first and foremost, the initial response, and I want to say their names, Officer Rex Engelbert and Officer Michael Colazzo, immediately got to the scene. Those two officers went in, took fire from that shooter, returned fire, and stopped her. And they did exactly what they were supposed to do. There were, and you know, you could see some of the video, just an excellent response from so many others. And I, you know, the police chief said during his press conference that, you know what, we had talked about this, and we did not want to be Uvalde. And I can tell you, because my husband and I travel this country training police officers, and every police officer in this country has had that conversation since Uvalde. We don't want to be those guys. We don't want to have that response. And we have, of course, we have seen this again with active shooters. The police officers run toward the shots, and I think, I know they were able to stop so much more carnage, and our hats are off to them, of course.
The steps, if you will, and look, we're all looking at this in a sense from the outside, but your experience is valuable, your background, and you're an expert in training others. When you look at what happened here, not just the response of Officer Engelbert and Colazzo and the others as well, but what next should be done to do this correctly? Look, it's sad, but agendas play into investigations. I would like it to not happen, but it does happen.
Well, first of all, the investigation in Nashville, what's going to happen now, of course, is the search for a motive. You know, and that is, of course, that's already happening. You know, they have done a search warrant at the home, and they'll be talking to anyone who has had contact with this shooter. They'll be looking at any mental health records that they can access, you know. And we see this time and time and time and time again with these shooters. Very often they are often somebody with mental illness, some sort of is often untreated or badly treated, or they've left treatment, you know, things like that. So we've got to look at mental illness. Also, from a law enforcement response, the initial response will be looked at. What could we have done better? What did we do right? And then other agencies will be looking at that to see, you know, how did we do, we as a law enforcement profession. We also look at the police chief. That leadership that we have seen throughout this, again, should be looked at by other leaders to say, this is how you communicate with the media. This is how you communicate with your community. Again, an outstanding response, because very often, and again, we can go back to Uvalde, but there are others, where you can look at the communication from a police leader and see that it was frankly poorly done. This police chief in Nashville, extremely well done. A community needs, and you had just talked about leadership, someone's voice who matters. That police chief's voice matters to that community, and he also has done an outstanding job. And those police officers will now be part of this community, helping them to grieve as well. And those officers will be grieving. No police officer sees what those officers saw yesterday and doesn't grieve. They will be part of that community of grief and prayer and retrospection.
I want to also address the social media, the various other elements and outside influences, which, again, some of this is, I don't want to call it speculation, but certainly of interest. But something more direct, and you talked about looking into the person, right? There's a manifesto, or there are other issues, psychologists, whatever the case may be. One that we know about is Ivoriana Patton. She said she saw a message on her phone on Instagram. The message sent at 9:57 a.m. local time. And it's a message from the killer, from Hale, that they planned that he as she identifies, plans to die by suicide. And according to Ivoriana, after trying to encourage Hale to reach out to others to get help, it just, you know, what happens in that situation and how does somebody judge it? How does Ivoriana say, do I need to reach out to authorities?
Well, of course, and that's something that we need to do a better job of informing people what they can do in that situation. Now, again, we were talking about this with hindsight bias. We know the end of the story. So it's easy to say, well, this person should have called, 911 or whatever.
She did call, but my question is, how do we get people? She did call, and I'm sorry, I didn't make that completely clear. She did call at 10:14 a.m., just working through the timeline as best we have it, called the Nashville non-emergency number. She initially called the Davidson County Sheriff's Office, and then they said to call the non-emergency number. So there are two parties to this, and it's difficult. A lot of calls come in. How do you know what that call represents?
Well, and that's the thing. Again, we tell people, if you see something, say something. If you hear something, say something. And this person did the right thing. The problem that we have is most, especially a larger urban police department, takes multiple calls like that every single day. So, again, remember, American law enforcement's terribly shorthanded right now. Do we have the personnel to track down every person who a call like that is made about? Of course we do not. But again, we encourage people. If you have a friend who sends a message to you on Instagram, tweets out something, or DMs you on Twitter, of course you want to notify authorities. But we've got to do better than that, quite frankly, as a society, because, like you said, and we're kind of dancing around it. There's some societal issues in this case that we need to take a hard look at. And, with this situation, we've got some people that, frankly, on Twitter, I just saw this morning, there are some people who are celebrating the situation and saying, well, it's great that a Christian school got shot up by a trans person. I mean, there's a lot of sickness out there. There's a lot of anger out there, and those are issues that American law enforcement cannot deal with alone. And it's really time for America to say, what is the issue here? It's not the guns, I can tell you that. You know, is it mental illness? Do we have some people whose feelings matter more than others? What is the issue here? But we've got to stop looking at law enforcement to deal with and fix every single societal ill. It's not possible, and everybody else needs to get involved. And I think we need to start with, we've got to have a realistic conversation about school security.
Just that point, and I think it's an important point about law enforcement, and I don't know how much you know of my background. I've covered mass murders since the 90s. Some of the more horrific circumstances out there. A teenager in Georgia, in Santa Claus, Georgia, who murders the entire family. A dragon death in Jasper was not a mass murder, but a horrific death. Others over the years. And you're right, law enforcement can't be everywhere, but not enough is being done. And I use the term social conditioning more broadly, but what happens when outside influences affect other individuals who act on it for whatever reason, whether it's a gay nightclub, whether it's a school, whatever the location, the circumstance, the agenda, or the thoughts are. And right now, as you said, social media, even on Amazon for that matter, on there, you see these sales, these Trans Day of Vengeance, the T-shirts. You see Lori Lightfoot, the former mayor of Chicago, tweeting about, you know, this moment has to be a call to arms. Now, whether that's what she meant, literal or not, words have influence on others.
Well, and you're absolutely right. And of course, we don't want a society that regulates words, but we have got to take a look at who we are making out to be a victim and who we are making the oppressor. And for the last 2.5 years, American law enforcement has been made out to be the oppressor, to the point where all around this nation, police officers were taken out of the schools saying that they are a danger to children. And then look what happened just a few days ago in Denver, Colorado, in a school where there was a shooting where school resource officers had been removed. So we have got to go back to a society that sees the police as the protectors and as the heroes and as the good guys and not the people who are going to harm their children. And then we have got to look at all of the anger and the mental illness and the drug use and say, what is happening to our society? Because, David, when you and I were kids, this was not happening. So, you know, I hate to sound like my grandmother, but we've got to look at our society and say, why is this happening? And stop blaming the guns.
There's so much more, but we obviously only have a limited time, and I'm sure you're fairly busy yourself with this tragedy. But, you know, in so many ways, we have to go beyond the discussion and to action. One of those is what can and should be done from a legal perspective. We follow the Constitution and the laws as they exist with these various organizations like this Trans Radical Activist Network that is raising money for firearms training. Okay, firearms, I'm a Second Amendment supporter, and that's clear. But then around the idea of a Trans Day of Vengeance, you know, and it's a line for law enforcement when you have to, you know, protect the First Amendment, right? We even protect hate speech as long as it's not direct threat, the fire shouting fire in a crowded theater. But then that becomes part of this social conditioning, this social messaging that someone, I don't know if that's the reason, but like a Hale, like this murderer, will take and use to go over that line. There are lots of angry people. There are lots of people in this country and society with mental issues that don't turn into mass murderers.
Well, that's absolutely right. And should trans people get armed and trained? Yes, if they're mentally stable, and, you know, they're doing it for the right reasons. Of course, the Second Amendment is the rule of the day. But these, like you talked about, this National Day of Rage and this and that, we have got to stop looking at some of these protests. And we saw this during the Black Lives Matter riots where you know, people that are in jail now for some riots had the charges dropped for other violent riots. So we've got to start looking at certain groups and saying that they have super rights, that they have rights over other people, and that other people, oh, maybe Christians who are protesting an abortion clinic or whatever, they don't have as many rights. We've got to start remembering that Lady Justice wears a blindfold for a reason, that your sex, your gender, your ideology, your religion don't matter in the eyes of the law. What matters is that you are not trampling on the rights of someone else, and that includes harming them because you're angry because they don't agree with your sexuality choices. And you know who can help with that? Schools can help with that. The media can help with that. And of course, our judicial system can help with that as well. And that's what needs to happen.
Sergeant Betsy Branter-Smith, spokesperson for the National Police Association, their website, nationalpolice.org. Thank you, Betsy. And it is unfortunate that these are the circumstances under which we have to, you know, do this interview, but we have a lot more to discuss in the future, how to train not just our officers, but our society, the relationship. I think we need a retraining of the relationship between law enforcement and the community.
You're absolutely right, David, and you have been on the forefront of that, discussing it in such a calm and encouraging manner, and we sure appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Betsy.